God bless you all. I hope you come out here this morning expecting the Lord to bless. I hope you come out here this morning expecting the Lord to work this morning, because I believe He can do that, and I believe He will do it for us. If we, you know what, if we believe that this morning. You know, I got a song here this morning. This song was written many years ago, but the gentleman that wrote the song said he wrote this song so that it would, if somebody sung it, that it, you know what, that they could get salvation, that they would know what salvation is about through it. I've never sung this song out before, but I've heard it, and probably some of you have heard it many a times. You pray for me as I try to sing it. I'm going to say, I claim the blood. I have a source of strength when I am weak that takes me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sins, my sickness, and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. I do not know how others make it through who do not go to Calvary as I do. And I'm not singing this right, I'm sorry. For there's a healing, cleansing stream that flows with peace that only His redeemed can know. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sins, my sickness, and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. Amen. You know, I didn't sing the chorus and the stuff right, but I'll get it. I'll get it. Believe you me, the Lord wants me to sing it, so I will get it. But I'm here to tell you this morning that our hope comes through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. None other. I'm going to be preaching from over in Revelation, the 20th chapter today, if you would. Turn to Revelation, the 20th chapter, the 11th through the 15th verse. And when you get there, please stand if you can this morning in honor of God's word. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whom the face of the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this was the second death. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come, Lord, with nothing but thanksgiving in my heart this morning. I thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, that died upon the cross. I thank You for the blood that was shed for us, Lord. I ask You, Father, to go with each and every one of us here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, the hearts would be opened. I pray that the minds of, Father, of those here this morning would comprehend what is being preached here this morning to them, Lord. I pray that I would be out of the way, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You'd give me the anointing here this morning, Lord. And we will give You the praise and the glory for it all. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you. There's a story that I heard a while back about two boys and how that this one young boy was swimming. And he was swimming in a lake. And as he was swimming in the lake, he began to cramp.
And as he began to cramp, you know, he couldn't stay afloat, and he started to drown. Well, there was another young boy that was walking by at the time, and as he was walking by, he seen him in there, seen him drowning, so he jumped in and saved him. And you know what? Whenever he brought him out, you know, he brought him up, he resuscitated him. You know, he was drowning, he got him back and saved his life. Well, the life went on, and these guys grew up as men, these boys grew into men. The one boy that was drowning, the story goes to tell us, the one that was drowning, he became a very wicked man later in life. And it said that, matter of fact, that you know what, he became so wicked that they eventually caught him where he had raped a girl and had murdered her. And he had been convicted of it, so they placed him, they were bringing him back for sentencing. And when he walked in to be sentenced, lo and behold, there was the judge that was sentencing was the same man that had saved his life years ago. He said he walked and he seen him, the boy had seen him, you know. He said, well, he saved my life many years ago. He said, maybe he'll have mercy on me again. And so he said he walked in there, and as the lawyers pleaded their cases and everything was done, this judge asked him, he said, what do you say for yourself, young man? And this man, feeling emboldened because he said he knew me, he said, well, you knew me from years ago. He said, you saved me in that lake. He said, and I'm asking you to have mercy on me today. The judge looked back at him, looked him right in the eye, and he said this. He said, son, he said, I was your savior one time, but today I'm your judge. He said, I am your judge today. And he sentenced him to die in an electric chair. Sentenced him that day to die in an electric chair. I'm here to tell you, you know what? Because he had squandered the opportunity of life that had been given back to him back in that day. He had squandered it. He sentenced him to the electric chair. And he said there was nothing else he could do. And I don't know if there's any historical truth to that story. I've heard that story a few times. But I do know the absolute truth about this morning. And I want you to understand this. Hebrews 10:26 tells us this. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for your sins. Can I tell you what that means to hear this morning to you? Listen to me. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'm here to tell you this morning that the opportunity for you to get to know Him is today. It is today. And if you reject that, there's no more sacrifice for sin that will be given for you. Jesus Christ is the only way. The only way that you can come to know salvation in your life. And I also believe this today. You know what? That you and I will stand before a just God one day. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Does anybody not understand what all means? That is all. None will be left out. We all shall stand before. Jesus is our salvation, is our hope, is our one that can give us the salvation that we need today. 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succoured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He will be our judge on that day. John 5:22, for the Father judgeth no man. Get this. God doesn't judge any man. But it says, but has committed all judgment unto who? Unto the Son. Jesus Christ, the one that died upon the cross, the one that gave it all, the one that so freely went to that cross. Praise God, one day, today, He's offering you salvation today. But one day, He will be your judge one day. And can I tell you this? That judgment will be done in righteousness. That judgment will be done. Judgment will be guaranteed. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this will come judgment. Every one of us will be given the judgment that we have laid out for our own selves. Do you know that? I'll get to that here in a little bit. That judgment will be morally right. In Psalms 96:13, I got a lot of scripture, and if you want to write it down, write it down. But I want you to understand, Psalms 96:13 says this: "Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the earth with righteousness, and the people with his truth." It will be done morally right. It will be done righteously. Nobody, not a one of us will be able to stand and say that God did not judge us righteously, because he will judge us righteously. Make no mistake about it. As you and I look around this world today, I do it all the time. I look around and say, God, boy, things just don't seem right. Things seem unjust, God, the way things are happening out there. But I can tell you this, it will be justified. His righteousness, his judgment will be righteous. Remember, no one's getting off. Remember that. The next time you question why things happen the way they do, the next time you question why what's going on in this world, remember, God is righteous and just. And his son will judge one day, and his son will judge righteously one day. No time about it. I want to get back to the book of life that I mentioned. And I want to get to this. Do you know the book of life is mentioned 14 times in the Bible? I didn't know this until I studied this week. 5 times in the Old Testament, and it's mentioned 9 times in the New Testament. And remember what I told you here a while back, a couple of sermons ago, about the law or first mention? Over in Exodus, it talks about, over in Exodus, the 32nd chapter, it tells us this: "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written." This is Moses talking about the children of Israel. Remember how that they, all the stuff that they did, and Moses is trying to take up for them, and trying to make, and you know what? Does that not a picture of what Jesus Christ does for us? Praise God. Is that not a picture of what he does for every one of us? You know what? He goes to the Father and he said, "Listen, that, you know, listen, he has accepted me as his Savior. Father, he's one of mine now." Amen. He does that. But then it goes on to say in verse 33, "And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." What book is he talking about? He's talking about the book of life is what he's talking about. Remember the law of first mention. There is nothing that does not happen, that God does not keep it right true, right through to the end. To have your name recorded in that book. And I want every one of you to pay attention to me. To have your name recorded in the book. Not just any book, but the book of life is the most important thing that anybody could ever do or ever have done in their life. Amen. Listen, you have to be recorded in the book. It's the most important thing. In Luke 10, 17 and 20, it says this: "And the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, Behold, Satan, I saw Satan as lightning fall from the sky. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." But listen to this. This is what's the important part of that. "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven." Praise God this morning. Can you rejoice this morning that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life? Amen. Praise God this morning. We serve a righteous God. We serve a just God. We serve a son, his son who died on a cross for us, and his righteousness will be just one day. Amen. Praise God, is your name written in heaven this morning? That's only you can answer that this morning. I can't answer it for you. The only hope you or I have is to make sure that your name is written in the book. Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, and every one that shall be found, what? Written in the book. Oh yeah. Times and troubles are getting rough out there, but praise God, if your name's written in the book, we have a hope.
Amen.
We have a hope beyond all this. Only the saved shall be in the book. Psalm 69:27 and 28. Charge them with crimes upon crimes. Do not let them share in your salvation. May they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. Only the righteous will be found in the Lamb's book of life. Understand that. Only. This is serious stuff, folks. This is stuff as I was preparing the message. God had put it upon me to bring this message in a way that's pleasing unto Him, but to let you know and to let you understand, this is serious stuff. How do we get your name recorded in the book? How do you do that? Well, I can tell you how you don't, and I'll tell you how you do here in a little bit, but I want to get into how you don't. Look at Revelation 20:12, the first part of it. Listen to this. I just read it a little bit ago. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Don't confuse that. That's not the book. Those are different books. You know what those books are? Those are the books of works. Did you know that? Those are the books of works. Those are what those are. Then I have talked about these books are the books that, saying these recorded in these books are everything that everyone's done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Did you know that? Did you know that that's what's recorded in those books? God has watched every one of our lives with like a VCR recorder, and I'll just put it out there just like that. Everything has been recorded. Everything that we have done has been recorded. The dead were judged according to what they had done, had been recorded in these books. God is a just God. Why do I say that for? Because God's going to judge you just the way that you want judged, Greg.
That's right. Amen.
Did you know that? God is going to judge you just the way that you want judged. You say, how you mean that, Dave? Because there are people that want to be judged by their works. That's why. He said that. He said the dead should be judged before because of the book. We will open the books in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to what he has done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. That's what this is what John is telling us. And they will be thinking, I'm all right. I'm good now because I can plead my case of what good I've done in this life. That's what they're going to think. That's what they're going to think. They'll think that we're good because of what all I've done. You know who Warren Buffett is in here? Anybody know who Warren Buffett is? Probably the richest man in the world. Probably. I mean, I'm thinking that's what he is. He gave a lot of his money away. But what amazed me, Warren Buffett said this after giving money to the New York, I think it's New York Public Library. I wrote this down. He said this: there is more than one way to get to heaven, but this is a great way to start. Because he gave billions of dollars to this library. That's what he did. Folks, I'm not surprised to hear that. Believe you me, I am not a bit, not because it's Warren Buffett. It's because there are other people that feel the same way. Because there's other people that feel that their good works will get them to where they need to go. Their works are all that matter. I don't know Mr. Buffett's soul. I have no idea. I'm not up here to judge him. I do not know. But I can tell you this, when the books of works are opened up, I don't care if Mr. Warren Buffett has a whole book by himself. It's about the blood. It's not about the works. It's about the blood. It's not about the works, brothers. Because, listen, Isaiah 64:6. Why does works not matter? They do do it. They do. Don't get me wrong. Works without, you know, faith without works. We all know the scripture. But listen, works alone will not get us where we need to go. Isaiah 64, 6. But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness is what? As filthy rags. No matter what, no matter how much you give, no matter what you do, if Jesus Christ is not in your heart, if you are not under the blood, it's for all for nothing. All for nothing. Listen, praise God. All the good works you can do. And I believe, listen to me. I believe that unrighteous people do good and bad works. You understand? I'm not up here saying that at all. Because I believe the lost are doing good and bad works. They do. We see it every day. The trouble is whenever the works is what they want to account for righteousness. And it doesn't work that way. But Dave, these are lost people. They do good works. That's the point. Jesus said in Matthew, over in Matthew 7, 21 and 23, Jesus said this, and I say this scripture a good bit for this reason. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. You see, Christ will judge righteously. Christ will do that. Many of these people standing at the white throne judgment, those standing there will have done many good deeds in their life. They will. God is just. He is just. And he will let these people be judged. Christ will let them be judged by what they want to be judged by, their works. Greg, I want to be judged by what Jesus Christ has done in my life. Amen? How about you this morning? I want to be judged by what Jesus Christ has done in my life. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life back in October 1974 on a Wednesday night in Mannington, West Virginia. I can take you to the place where it was wrote. And praise God, you know what? There's been struggles. There's been many a thing in my life, but it's still there today. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, do you know when your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know that? I'm telling you, it's got to be there. It's important that it's there. God is recording every aspect of it. God is taking down our life. He will replay it back to you. One day, if you are in the white throne judgment, that's the judgment of all the lost. If you are there, I'm here to tell you, what will be done in secret is going to be shouted from the housetop one day. It's going to. Ecclesiastes 12, 14. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. He will bring it out into focus. Matthew 12, 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Oh, I want to be judged by my works. By your words, you will be condemned. Did you get that? Man, I'm telling you what, the scripture is amazing when it opens up to you. In Luke 12, 2 and 3, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whosoever ye have spoken, that you have spoken in darkness, shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed from the housetops. Nothing. Let me say it again. Nothing shall escape God. Nothing. I'm here to tell you, nothing shall. Listen. Oh, what I want us to all understand this morning is this. You may be saying, Dave, you may be looking at me and say, Dave, I can't do this. Can I tell you something? You can't. You can't. If you're sent back here trying to do this on your own, you cannot do it on your own. I could not do it on my own. I tried. I tried it. I could not do it on my own, and neither will you be able to do it on your own. It takes Jesus Christ coming into your heart. It takes the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your life. It takes that. Don't for a minute let people fool you and say you that you got this. You can do it on your own, because that you cannot do it on your own. No one, can I say it again? Absolutely no one in this church will tell you that they can do it on their own. No one. None of us. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul." What's it take? Exodus 12:13 says it the best. "And the blood shall be for you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Has the blood been applied? They were talking about blood of lambs. I'm talking about the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Amen? Has it been applied this morning? Because whenever they come, praise God, he sees the blood. He will pass over you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to his riches and grace." The only way to escape the white throne judgment, praise God, is to get your name in the book. I'll tell you something else too. You know something? Whenever he puts your name in the book, you know it's wrote in crimson red.
Amen. Amen.
The blood of Jesus is what he signs it with. Amen. The only thing that we can is to have the blood of Jesus. He signs it in red. I believe that. I believe he signs it in red. Alita, got your name signed in red, Alita. Amen. Does he not? I feel he does. Praise God. My name is written there. Your name is, you're born again, you're written there. That's why I don't fear. I can read about the great white throne judgment. I don't fear about it.
Amen.
I don't fear about it. I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be there. Why? Dave, that's pretty boastful. No. As long as I keep hold of Jesus' hand, I'm not going to be there.
Amen.
I'm not going to be there. Amen. You're saved. I want you to look at one more scripture. I read, man, like, this is something that the God should. Turn over to Revelation 13:8. And I'll finish up with this. Revelation 13:8. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, all right. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him." I want you to get this. "Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb." I want you to catch that. "Whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the earth." Can I tell you something? If you go to a store and you buy an autobiography of George Washington, who do you want to read about in it? George Washington. You know what that verse of scripture there means? That's Jesus Christ's autobiography, the book of life. You know why? Because whenever you get saved and your name is written into the book of life, into that book, you know this, what happens there? Listen to me. It's not about you. It never was about you. Your name's there. It's written in crimson red. But praise God, it's got out beside of it because of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Exactly.
Autobiography of Jesus. That's what that's about. Praise God. The book of life, it's all about him.
Amen.
Man, I'll tell you what. Isn't it good stuff, as Jamie would say?
Praise
God. I don't know much about Revelations. I try to preach on it once in a while. But that's something right there. I know about that. Brothers, you need to have your name in the book of life. And you don't need to be worrying about the books. Amen. Praise God. They come and get a song.